you know, Tyler's incident at the age of 4, she was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor. And it was a strange experience. I was sitting with Mikasa. We were in international departures heading off to Mozambique. And my phone rang, and my wife was on the other side, and she said, Tyler had a fall. She was dizzy. And I've got her at the hospital. They've just done a brain scan, and there's a massive brain tumor.
Wait, where were you, bro?
In international departure. So we had gone through immigration. We were sitting
in Moz.
In South Africa.
Okay.
Luckily still in South Africa, yeah. But waiting to get onto the plane.
Wow.
And I was sitting next to Jay when I took the phone call.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and my eyes just filled with water. I'm like,
Bro,
I gotta go.
Hi, my name is Kgabo Legora, and my guest today is Donovan Thorne. Good friend of mine. He's a DOP, director of photographer, has done so much in television, man, and the conversation today is just about energy and respect in your house. We're doing it again. This is a podcast about being a dad, because I'm a dad talking with other dads, and today is another special one. I'm sitting across one dude that I've known probably for the past four years.
Yeah.
Man, I have learned a ton load from this dude. We both share similar experiences in who we've worked with. But let me just tell you who this guy is. His name is Donovan Thorne. He is a DOP. DOP is director photographer. He shoots a lot. And he used to be Mikasa's photographer. And then I came. He just passed on the baton, for lack of a better word. What's up, Don?
I'm good. How?
What's
good
up,
to
bro?
See you, bro, man. It's been good. It's been you a while, know? But we've seen each other. So it's good.
It's been a while, bro.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I passed the baton is because I became a dad.
Is it?
You know?
Really?
Yeah, bro. You know, you spend time with the fam.
Yeah.
And it was time to move on, and you took over, and it was a.
And then I became a dad.
And then you became a dad.
Shoot, nigga. So. Yeah. How long have you been a dad, bro?
Tyler is 10 years old. So 10 years.
Sure, bro.
My eldest. And Blake, my son, is 7.
So how old were you when you had Tyler?
Bro, I'm 42. So I was 32, yeah?
Yeah, good age.
32, good age.
Yeah.
Mature age, I think, in the right space to have children. Sure. To be able to look after them, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming, when we met, Tyler was 5, 6 years old?
Yes. No, she was exactly.
Yeah.
She would have been 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And that was probably 2 years after the incident.
Yes.
I remember the incident.
Yes.
Yeah, which also sort of led me to separating my ties with Mikasa and handing over the baton. You know, Tyler's incident at the age of 4, she was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor. And it was a strange experience. I was sitting with Mikasa. We were in international departures heading off to Mozambique. And my phone rang, and my wife was on the other side, and she said, Tyler had a fall. She was dizzy. And I've got her at the hospital. They've just done a brain scan, and there's a massive brain tumor.
Freaking heck, bro. Wait, where were you, bro?
In international departures. So we had gone through immigration. We were sitting
in Moz.
In South Africa,
okay.
Luckily still in South Africa, yeah. But waiting to get onto the plane.
Wow.
And I was sitting next to Jay when I took the phone call.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me, and my eyes just filled with water. And I'm like,
Bro,
I gotta go. And he's like,
my word,
yeah.
Bro.
And he was like, whatever it is, it's fine, just go. And that was,
I can't even imagine, bro.
Yeah.
It
was a tough one, man. It was a tough
one. And I mean, like, I think when I was starting to join Mikasa, I was catching up with the story, because it was during the time when, like, she was getting better. And, you know, like, I remember I was just trying to find what was the hashtag again?
Tyler Believe. Yeah.
And I was just trying to catch up with what the story was. And I saw, like, the biggest thing was this community, bro. Like, I just saw, like, a whole lot of people just, like, rallying up behind you guys as a family. Bro, that was really special, man. Yeah,
it was insane. It was like the support that we got was really incredible. And it was like such a, it was a strange experience to live through. And I think it must be this, I mean, I've lived through it. And we've seen the other side and it's been a great outcome.
Sure.
You know? And I think it happens, it often happens that it's not always a great outcome.
Yes.
But the people that rally around you, that support you and that come together, it's mind-blowing, you know?
Yeah.
It really is mind-blowing.
So how's it been, bro? Like, so I now, when you passed on the baton, I literally became a dad a few months after that.
Yes.
So, like, it's just ironic. And I know that, like, you know, the travel life was just, it was intense. Yes. I remember, like people were like, I'm like, guys, why is Don leaving? Like, I genuinely asked everyone. I was just like, why are they, like, bro, the traveling and the time consumption was is real. And he wanted to be present with his kids and his family.
Mm.
You know, when they said that, I was like, what am I walking into?
Yes, 100%.
Because I'm like, I'm a new dad.
Yeah.
Like, and resist, I was just like, okay, then I need to manage this a lot better.
Yes.
Like, I mean, and that's when, like, I also, like, at some point, my wife met Michelle. And I remember, like, she was just like, he's traveling a lot. And then it was just like, it's real.
It's real. It's real. You forget what your bed feels like.
You know?
You know what I mean?
You know, I think, like, in that first year, I was just like, what in the world? Like, it was just a flip on time.
Yes.
But it was great. And I mean, I learned a lot, man. I mean, so now you're a dad of two.
I'm a dad of two.
I'm a dad of four.
You're brave, man.
Bro, you know, I mean, like, 10 years in, bro, my son is like 4 years old, and I'm just like, yeah, like, I can't imagine how he's going to be in 10 years, like, in 6 years when he's 10.
Yeah.
How's the journey been for you? Like, 10 years in, like, do you feel like, you know, you're getting into the groove of things?
I don't know if you'd ever get into the groove of things.
No, you actually don't.
Especially if you've got a daughter, because they're like, I mean, they're little girls, but they quickly become young ladies.
Sure.
You know, quickly become young ladies. So the things that they say, the way that they respond, the emotions, they are so on top of things nowadays. So 10-year-olds are not 10-year-olds like when we were 10-year-olds.
Yo, bro, you're scaring me.
Yeah,
I have like 3 girls.
Well, you got something coming. You got something coming. Yeah, so the journey is incredible.
Yeah.
Having a daughter is the best thing any dad could ever wish for.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw your Insta story today.
Yes.
Where you're like, I'm going to paraphrase it, but you're just like, the best thing that could ever happen to a man is for him to have a daughter, because he's going to experience a ton load more of emotions that he could have never experienced.
Exactly.
In his life.
That's correct.
How's that been for you as a dude, bro?
It is. It's the young girls soften you. Your daughters soften you. They can bring you to a place where you are so emotional and so lovable and so, like, you would do anything for a daughter, you know? And it's an awakening every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into I walk home and then, I mean, I walk into the house and it's Blake's there and Tyler's there and Blake's cool and he plays and he wants to do boy stuff. But Tyler will come and sit on my lap and, you know, hug me and say, hi, Dad, how are you? I missed you. Like, thanks for being the best dad ever and for everything that you do for us. And
Jeepers,
it's like, it's deep.
Yeah.
You know? So a daughter will, she'll bring tears to her eyes. Yeah, they'll go there. Yeah. Boys will avoid that. They'll be like, Dad, make me a paper plane.
Let's
dance or kick the ball around.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. Bro, and I mean, like, the little amount of times that I've been to your place, bro, there's a vibe, bro, of like, it's serene. I think that's the best way I could put it.
Yes.
And I know that you're very intentional about creating an atmosphere in your house that is just peaceful, joyful, very positive. But I know that you also, like, you prioritize that, like, taking time away with the family.
Yes.
Like, that's something that I really, really genuinely struggle with. Like, it's a big thorn in my flesh, bro. Like, how is that for you? Like, what does it do for you mentally? With your kids, with your wife.
Sure.
Yeah.
Look, taking time out, I think, is so important to everyone. We were blessed. We bought a beautiful stand out of town a couple of years ago, a good couple of years ago, and excuse me, but we built a dream house. I built a house from scratch. I built a space that I wanted to feel like when I go home at night, it's not suburbia, it's not traffic. It needs to feel like me and my little family are in our space where we can just be with each other. And that's great. It's nice being there. But taking kids out of that space sometimes and experiencing things. I've got a friend that's borrowed me a 1967 caravan. And it's the smallest little retro caravan. Sure. And the best thing is just to hook this caravan
and just go,
somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids love that. They just want to run around barefoot and just share that space together where you feel comfortable. And kids can be kids. And it's just the best thing, right?
And I mean, you know, I see your stories, bro. And I know that a big thing for you is just like a great mental space.
Yes.
It's very important to you. You don't say it, but I can see it in what you're talking about. Like, and I think, like, you know, just mental health is, I mean, now a lot of people are talking about it, which is really great. But it's not enough. To the extent of men being free in whatever circles that they are to admit that they're not okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously to be positive, you might have experienced some negatives. Like, why is that such a thing for you? Like, did you experience anything in that space that made you feel like, nah, you know what? I really do want to prioritize this in my life.
Yeah, I think after Tyler's tumor diagnosis, and Blake's got his own story, which we can also touch on if you want. He was born with a brachial plexus injury, so he's basically got a paralyzed left arm from birth, and then developed a severe scoliosis, which requires surgery every 6 months.
Yeah,
probably for the next 6 years.
Bro, your boy is so brave. Yeah, man. I just
Blake,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, brave man. Blake.
Yeah.
And Michelle and I sat down and we were talking about why we found, like, we were surrounded by so much stress and so much anxiety. Yes. And it's all revolving around our kids.
Yes.
And why do the two of us have to be going through this first with Tyler, and then Tyler was, you know, she's in the clear and she's like, it's all good. And then Blake's incident and dealing with Blake's for the next 6 years possibly. That we need to create a space and an energy in the house that is constantly one of acknowledging positivity, feeling positive vibes, smiling, saying good morning to each other in the morning.
Sure.
And making like rituals, habits of these sorts of things. Things that make you feel happy. What is it that makes you feel happy? Get up in the morning, we open the curtains first thing, we open the window, we get fresh air in, take a deep breath. Going to the kids, sitting down on the bed with them, speaking to them for 2 minutes before they have breakfast in the morning and saying, how are you doing? How are things at school? Are you ready for today? Are there any stresses that you have? How are your friends? Are they treating you nicely? Do you, you know, can you communicate with your teacher? Are you able to say, ma'am, I don't understand the question, or do you just sit still and not put your hand up because you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of friends? And trying to create a space where we can communicate openly all the time.
Bro, such power, man. Such power. Because I mean, like, for me, we Joburg, bro. Joburg in and of itself, the culture and this, the environment, and I'm glad that the fact that you live on the outskirts, it kind of like creates that for you. You're not like in the hustle and bustle of everything in the city where you're just in a rush for everything, trying to beat traffic and all that stuff. So like, there's space to breathe and kind of prioritize. Like, you said one word, bro, that kind of like really sits with me, which was habit. Like, the habit of consistently doing that and being intentional about creating that environment is a thing. Like, I know, like, the little that we do with our kids is like, and I said this in another session, I said, like, we have what you call peak time traffic at home.
Yeah.
We know that, like, kids are back at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So is my wife. Between 3 and the time that they sleep at 7 p.m., that is their time.
Yeah.
That is the habit that we work at creating, and the kind of like environment we create, that we switch off There's no emails. Mm-hmm. There's no meetings. There's no proposals on my end that I'm working on. I'm present. I need same with her as well.
Yes.
Because they need to have that time and space where they can speak, they can engage, they can air out their frustrations if they have any at their age, which they do.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, 100%. I mean, like, I'm just sitting on that. Mm. I'm just like, also, I touched on it in another session, that how, for me, mental health is a personal thing for me because I struggled with it.
Mm.
I genuinely struggled with, I think, just what you're saying, like positivity, like being positive. Like, what's the word they say? Your English is defeating me now. But like, there's this thing, like, just when it comes to depression, that they define that depression sometimes is like, there's circumstances that really beat you down.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's your own stresses that beat you down. But then there's the chemical imbalances that also just, that can really just throw you off. And I think that's the one thing that in this whole conversation about mental health that isn't necessarily like talked about, because, you know, everyone assumes that, no, everyone is stressed, everyone is depressed or suicidal just because they're going through stuff. But sometimes you can't explain it.
Yes, absolutely.
You genuinely can't explain it. And that's why, like, when you said habit, it kind of like triggered me, because I was just like, yo, damn, like, actually, like, if I had the habits of doing what you did, like, just let in some light, let in some air, and take it from there.
Yeah.
Mentally, it opens you up to just a lot better.
Yeah.
And what you have to do in the day and all of that stuff. And I think, like, for dudes, it's something that's not prioritized, because we're just like, yo, I need to hustle. I need to get on it. And that's it. And it's like, when I take care of myself is when I am de-stressing with the boys, having a drink in the club. I'm being very stereotypical, but there's not a lot of priority on just sit and breathe, bro. Yeah,
100%.
Just sit and breathe, man. I mean, I say this, I'm also still struggling with it, but I'm getting there. But I mean, like, when I look at you, it's something that like, when I'm around you, I know that mentally you're there, bro.
Yeah.
And I feel that vibe, man.
Yeah. And what I found, and it is like you said, you have your 3 to 6 p.m. chaos usually in most households. So we have the same problem. You know, it's, you get home, it's homework, it's Michelle needs to cook dinner, or I have to cook dinner, Tyler's got studying, Blake's got homework, and he wants to play, and the kids want to swim, and.
Mm.
So it is, you don't have, usually have time then for the habit to create a space there, because it is chaotic. Every day is going to be different.
Sure.
But one constant that we have every single morning is that when the alarm goes off at 5:45 and the kids are still asleep or they're just waking up, it's the best time to catch them and create a space and create a habit and create a ritual.
Sure.
And if you do it a couple of months, it becomes the norm. It's just the same. It's the same thing every morning. But to walk in the morning, and when you do it the second week and your kids open their eyes and the first thing they do is smile, rather than, dad, I don't want to go to school today, or I didn't sleep well, it lightens the mood completely in the entire space.
So now for you, as a man, is what do you do for yourself?
That ritual in the morning helps me as much as it helps my family.
Sure.
The fresh breath of air, you know, getting light into the house. Laughing, spending 2 minutes with the kids. 2 minutes is nothing. But you'll be surprised that if you do 2 minutes every morning for a month, how much information you'll get from your children. You'll be surprised.
Sure. You feel like, obviously it has, but I like, that's possibly just helped a lot in how you're parenting your kids. Because, like, you have that open communication with them. So, I mean, bro, there's a big question that I genuinely sit with in all these sessions. And it's always interesting because everyone has a different perspective. We don't all come from the same background.
Sure.
We all have different contexts. But it's, how do we, in where we are in our world, in our society, in our careers and all these things, as a man, again, you know, how do we become better as men?
Yeah.
In your view?
Man, I think it just, everything in life revolves around respect. And it starts with respecting yourself. And then it revolves around respecting the few people that you live with in your house, and then from there respecting the people beyond that. And respect is a small thing, like it's a smile, it's a hello, it's a greet. But giving someone that positive energy and the recognition,
true,
it can change someone. Whether it might not be your day today, but it might be your day tomorrow.
Sure.
Where you just need that positive, I don't know if it's making sense.
You know what, Nat? What you're saying, I've seen. You do it.
Because I practice it.
Yeah, because like I'm remembering the first time we actually met. We met on set. It was 5 years ago, mm-hmm, when Jay Something was doing his television show.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
And I was doing behind the scenes photography on that set. And bro, you were possibly the most respectful guy that I've saw. Like, I think sometimes the film industry is sometimes seen as like there's bravado just all over the place. But you were neutralizing it, bro. Mm. Like, and I mean, like, I was just observing because it was my first time on set and all these things. I'm just figuring things out. I saw your relationship with Jay. I could see that there was some rapport that's there. But as time went and the day and the months went and being on set, bro, what you're saying is what I saw, because you're right in that you practiced that thing of respect. And it's not like, it's not a man-to-man thing. It's even with females you were doing it.
100%.
It doesn't even matter. It wasn't gender specific.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's what I respect as well from you. It's like, and I learned that kind of like etiquette to for like a better word in how to do that from you, because I mean I see you as like a bigger brother for me. It's like I'm like the age difference is there, but like I've learned a ton load from you because we're in similar spaces, so I've like grown in that space. But it was in being close and seeing how you work with people that I know that you practice what you preach. Positivity is what you do, respect is what you do. But is that respect being what it is for you, is that something that you try teach?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I try and teach. Like, if I walk onto set and my camera department that report to me, I will go and I'll speak to every single one of them individually and I'll tell them, I appreciate you. Like, I could not be doing my job if you were not here, you know? There's no hierarchy. I will go to every single person and greet them and just show that respect.
Sure.
Not because I think that I have to, it's because I want to.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen. I've seen that it rubs off.
Mm.
I've seen that after 3 months or a month on set.
You've created that culture.
Everyone is greeting everyone.
Sure.
Everyone's taking coffee to someone else. Someone's asking, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
And it rubs off.
Yeah.
You know? And I hope it makes a difference.
Yeah, and with your kids?
That's what we do. And the kids are exactly the same. Like, one thing Michelle and I have always believed from the outset is that if we could just teach our kids good manners, respect comes out of that.
Sure.
It's a please, makes it's sense. A thank you. 100%.
Yeah.
If your kids can please and thank you, it's the first sign of respect. Sure,
bro, like, manners are such...
Yeah.
Man, I get like grilled, bro, when someone doesn't have good manners, like proper grilled. Like even with my kids, like now it's a thing. Like my daughters right now, like they're sassy as heck. I don't even know where the heck they get it from. And like my daughter will come to me and is like, hey, well not hey, I want my blanket.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna get it for you. Like, you know the word to use.
Yeah.
And she's like, please.
Rolls eyes.
I'm like, you know, she genuinely just says in that tone. I'm like, they've learned now, like, okay, I just need to get this out the way and then I'll get what I need. But I mean, like, either way, it's like understanding that manners are not, like, don't downplay just saying please and thank you. Like, it matters. And I think, like, for guys, like, yeah, bro, whoo, this touches me on my studio, because like with guys, it's such a thing. We were taught to just like, yeah, man, like just do what you need to do, like whatever. And like we try to work around not saying sorry, not saying please, not saying thank you. Oh, sorry is even harder, bro. Like
it's hard.
Jeepers.
It's hard.
And I think because like we struggle so much with pride and egos, that's like, that's not dealt with at the root.
Yeah.
And I think it starts there when in our families, in our homes, like that one-on-one time with your boy or with your daughter where you say, You know, I actually, it makes me happy when you say thank you.
Mm.
It will dump, like, play to their level at for a two-year-old.
Yes.
Because two-year-olds, sometimes it's like, I'm sad because you shouted at me. Mm. Well, I am sad because you actually didn't say thank you.
Yeah.
To their age.
Yes.
And I mean, at that point is that it starts teaching them, like, with elders, with peers, and all that stuff. It's like, thank you.
Mm.
Or I'm sorry, which is another thing. It's like, man, that culture of just saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Phew.
No, that's crazy. It takes a big man to say sorry.
Yeah.
And when you're in a space, I mean, have you ever had an argument?
Yeah.
A colleague, something happens, even your wife. But let's even say man to man. If a man comes to you and says, Khabo, like, what I did was wrong, man, and I'm sorry.
Dude, it hits something.
It hits something, right? It really does.
Jesus.
So it takes a big man to say sorry. So say sorry, because that makes you a big man. Do you know what I mean? It makes you a, like, big person.
It's powerful. Like, I mean, like, in at the height of what we're going through at the moment, that is possibly one of the most healing words a man could say right now. There are few guys that I've seen online that will just say, on behalf of all the men, we are sorry. But that one person that actually did the wrong.
Yeah.
To just.
He's not the one.
Just go say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100%.
You don't know what it would do to someone. Like, bro, and forgiveness is also another thing. You know, like, I just thought of an example now. Like, when I was running my agency a few years ago, and, you know, one of the ladies that was working with us, she messed up, bro. Like, ended up, like, we were in debt broke. She messed up something that we couldn't really recover from. And as we were trying to recover, like, there was so much tension in where we were, and she apologized, and she, you know, but there was another word that just needed to be released, and it just really brought a different atmosphere to the company.
Yes.
At some point, I came back to the office and I told her, I forgive you. Because that's also another thing. It's one other thing. It's the flip side of the manners. It's like, after you say I'm sorry, the other point of it is, I forgive you.
Yes.
It matters. It does something.
100%.
Sorry, I just wanted to just
Agree
put
with
that
you.
One out there, man.
I mean, we all have arguments.
You know?
And someone's always right and someone's always
wrong. Yeah.
And it, you know, sit down. I'm sorry. I did this. I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And you're hoping for the, it's okay.
Yes.
That's what you're hoping
for.
Yeah,
yeah, right? It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, yeah. Like my kids, I don't know where they learned that thing. Like, yeah, Lefa, I'm sorry for kicking you. It's okay. But they don't really mean it. But I mean, like, I'm just glad that they understand, like, acknowledging the apology as well. That's 100%. The flip side of it.
I'll tell you a brilliant story.
Yeah.
And it brought Michelle and I to tears.
Yeah.
Blake was in surgery. We're in Cape Town. And Blake's going into theater. And the anesthetist wants to put the mask on him.
Yeah.
To put him under. And he starts fighting.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to. He's afraid.
I know. I've been.
Yeah.
By some, you know the feeling, that right? Thing is hard, bro.
It's horrible. So he pulls his, he's got one of those surgical hats.
Yes.
And as the doctor comes, he kicks the doctor and he pulls his hat over his face.
Okay.
Because he doesn't want to do the gas.
Yes.
And after lots of convincing and telling him that everything's going to be okay, eventually, you know, he goes under and he goes into surgery. He wakes up, post-surgery. And the first thing he says to me is, Dad, I'm so sorry for what I did before I went. He's 6 years old, 7 years old. Ooh. And
bro, I'm fighting back.
Yeah. All this. So I'm like, boy, it's okay. You were scared. You were feeling all these things. Yeah. It's understandable to respond that way. You're not an adult. You can't deal with it like an adult.
Yeah.
That's all you know how to do when you feel that way.
Sure.
But saying that you're sorry, that's great.
Yeah.
It makes me know that you knew what you're doing wasn't really appropriate.
Sure.
And the anaesthetist comes in to see him the following morning.
Yeah.
And as this anaesthetist walks in, Blake looks at him and says, "Doctor, I need to apologize for what I did yesterday." And Michelle and I almost burst into tears.
That's what it is, bro. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, that's what it is, bro. Like, that's where it should start, man.
Yeah.
It starts there.
And then the anaesthetist smiles, and his whole demeanor changes.
Sure.
His mind shift changes. He just got sideswiped by a 7-year-old who he wasn't expecting it from. And he could go to the canteen and tell someone else the story. That positive vibe just spreads.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the lady who's making coffee starts smiling and she laughs and she enjoys, you know.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Yeah. So, that was just a blessing. It was just like this little moment that, you know, oh, parents, we've done something right, you know.
Bro.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we had this chat, bro.
Me too, man.
I'm sure it's going to help someone or some family or dad out there. Thanks again, bro.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Peace.
Son of a Son, a podcast about how being better men can help us raise better kids. Hashtag Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.